I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There, everybody, and thank you all again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And I'm not alone. The man beside me with a thousand nicknames, I've given him all kinds of names throughout the time. I still like Kyle O'Mite probably the best. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a dreary, rainy, densely foggy afternoon.
A day for creepiness.
It is. I got some crazy stories here. We had a recent expedition up to Tennessee, and it was an amazing trip. It flew by. I can't believe we were there for a week, and it went by like it was 2 days.
It was so much fun. Yeah, that was a good trip. Usually we don't get good trips. Usually our trips are always got some sort of hiccup or bump along the way. Not this time. They worked perfect. Everything was smooth.
Well, that's because normally when I'm traveling, I'm with my family. So you got kids with you. You got your wife with you. You got 85 bags.
You can say what you want. They don't listen.
Man, when you fly by yourself and I'd like me and you're just like me, I'm a real light packer. Smooth sailing. We pulled up to the valet. You get out. You check in. You go through TSA.
Got our backpacks.
And you get on the plane. You get up. By the time we got off the plane, our luggage was already there. It was just smooth sailing.
Everything went smooth except going up. They pulled Kyle aside out of the TSA. And coming home, they pulled me aside out of the TSA.
I don't know what it is. I look suspicious. Every time I go through TSA, I get the cavity searches and everything else that takes place. They search me up and down.
They rightfully should.
I just look guilty, I guess.
Dude, I'm an idiot. I didn't realize, like, I was supposed to take the laptop out of the backpack or do whatever, and I left it in, and then there was some books on top, and they were like, that looks suspicious. So I guess,
because they're like, this guy doesn't read. What is this? There's something inside the book. You know what I mean?
That's probably right. 100%. But we're trying something new today, folks. We're glad to have you here. We've got video of this, and I think this is going to be an everyday occurrence now.
It has to.
You're going to have to start looking at our ugly mugs all the time now.
We talked to so many people on this trip, and every one of them was like, dude, I can't. You guys got to do video. I'm tired of listening to you. I want to see you. And so we flew to Nashville, but we actually didn't spend any time in Nashville. As soon as we landed at the Nashville airport, we drove to Franklin. And Franklin is a very nice, beautiful town. I'd never been there before. I was like, wow.
For those that need an explanation of Franklin, bougie comes to mind.
Very, very.
That place is something else.
So we arrived, what was it, like 10 in the morning? We had several hours to kill before we could check into our Airbnb. So we played two rounds of disc golf.
What else do you do?
We looked at a Confederate battleground. It was a Confederate cemetery.
Yeah.
Of course, it was a battleground with both forces. Then that was pretty neat. And just the history of the area. Oh, and it's beautiful. The hills.
And we ate some real Nashville hot chicken.
We did. Lots of people recommended that we go to Hattie B's. I didn't know that we have one in Dallas, so I went all the way to Franklin to try it.
Hey, but worth it.
It was very good.
It was worth it. It was good stuff.
And then on the first day after we checked in, we drove to Memphis, which is a three-hour drive, to do the Ducks Unlimited podcast.
Oh,
what an experience, right?
Clay, that was a great time. Matt, Kayla, that was awesome.
Chris,
everybody.
Yeah, Chris. It was It was a great killing time. Killing it. Now we've done
it was awesome.
We've done Halloween shows with them in the past, but it's always been, you know, remotely. So this was the first time to actually go in the studio. And it would have been different if we had gone the previous 2 years because they have a brand new studio.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it was a great experience. I'm sure we'll be back. And then they took us to a famous Memphis barbecue place and tried the Memphis barbecue. Like, we have it down here, but we're more, everything's about beef here because it's Texas. And up there, everything seems to be more about pork. But
it was good.
Very good experience. And then after the videos that we recorded with the DU guys, they uploaded it. And apparently we went viral.
Yeah, something went crazy. Everybody wanted to see it.
I think at the moment of this recording, it's over 12 million views. So
yeah, that's crazy.
You know, I've never done anything like that because we don't post anything hardly.
Yeah. But look at us.
We're going to have to change, right? Yeah. Everything's got to change.
So get ready. We're going to be in y'all's timeline now, all up in the feed.
And then after Ducks Unlimited, we went to BlurryCon. We were there Thursday and Friday. Of course, it was only a 2-day event. And we did Deep Thoughts. If you remember the old sketch, Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. We did Deep Thoughts with Expanded Perspectives. Now, this wasn't our idea. This was Nate and Luke's. We loved it. It was fantastic.
It was awesome.
The production of BlurryCon was amazing. It was Star Wars themed. I didn't know they'd really have blast doors and stuff.
No. But it was
And the
awesome.
Whole team, Kim.
And then they were dressed like stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Ill-fitting stormtroopers.
I want to thank Kim, John, Jordy. I mean, everybody that was into the production of the thing, they did an excellent job. I mean, we actually had a schedule. I thought we were just going to kind of, you know, wing our way through. They'd be like, oh, you guys are on next. No, they were like calling, texting. Because the first day, the event started at 11. We weren't supposed to go on until like 2:30. So we didn't even show up till like 1. And she was like, we've been calling you.
No one
told me that someone would be calling.
We didn't even have the address to the place till like an hour before we got there.
Yeah. Crazy. We got to meet Tennessee Tony Merkel.
Oh, he's awesome. Got the Ninja Boys.
We got to hang out with the Ninja guys backstage. The green room was the best part. I mean, just hanging out back there.
It was so wild.
Telling lies. We got to meet a lot of fans. It was really cool to meet everybody and take pictures.
It meant a lot, just so y'all know. It means a lot to us for y'all to come up and just introduce yourselves and tell us how much you enjoy the show. It does. It means a whole lot. So thank y'all.
Thank you
very much for being there.
And so I think they're going to be doing it again. I still think that we're planning on trying to do Squatchella at some point.
It'd be awesome.
And
we have to.
Let's hope that happens. But let's get into some news.
Hit me with it.
Check this out. It says, I've seen some wild stuff in my life. Most of it's explainable. The one event that comes to mind was witnessed by my dad, brother, and myself, and I still wonder about it today. It was around 1998. My family and I had just moved into an old clapboard house on the edge of town. It had a huge backyard with a 6-foot wooden privacy fence on one side and a metal chain link fence about 4.5 feet high around the other 3 sides of the yard. Neighbors were on one side, the privacy fence side. A small grass alley that ran behind the back with a street light, and then another yard, etc. Our bedroom was an old converted sunroom on the back of the house that faces the backyard. It had floor-to-ceiling windows all along the back wall looking into the backyard. Now, we didn't have many options as to where to place our beds, so my headboard was against the windows, and my brother's bed was about 8 feet away with his headboard against the opposite wall with the foot of the bed facing the windows. One night, we were up pretty late. I was in my bed, and he was in his, just talking about random things, when suddenly, he got quiet. I figured he fell asleep, but then I heard him whispering in a shaky breath. So I'm like, what? What? I could hear him whisper again. So again, I'm like, speak up, man. I can't hear you. And he goes, don't move. Be quiet. In a forced whisper. But I think I'm thinking at this point that he's messing with me. Like, you know, I'm like, why? And I'm looking at him. And mind you, my head is to the windows. And he's pointing into the backyard behind my head. So quickly, sit up and turn around to see this huge dog head staring almost nose to glass through the window right behind my bed. I'm almost nose to nose with this thing. Just a single pane of glass, about 10 inches of empty airspace separate me from this thing. Now, when I say I screamed, I mean I screamed. Not my proudest moment, but hey, I was like 10 years old. Well, anyways, the thing quickly ducked under the window and then ran to the side of the yard and jumped the 4.5-foot chain link fence and bolted off into the darkness. My dad, of course, came running into the room with our mom right on his heels. We were able to get out. Something was looking through our window. So Dad ran back to his room and grabbed his shotgun and headed outside the door of the house into the backyard. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, he didn't find anything. He wrote it off as I had a nightmare and my brother wouldn't admit to seeing anything, so I took the blame. I was told to quit messing around and go back to bed, which is a typical parent response.
100%.
Well, later that night, maybe an hour or so after, I begged my parents to let me sleep in the living room because leaving the house wasn't an option, and still being refused, I was made to sleep in my room. So again, my brother and I are in the room with these Florida ceiling windows, and we're completely rattled at this point. We're both huddled in his bed, staring out the windows when we see this thing come walking around the chain link fence on all fours. The fence only comes up to its mid-shoulder, so this thing is huge.
It's returned for vengeance.
It sniffs the ground, does a few circles, then hops the fence into the backyard like it's nothing. It walks over to the window and again gets nose to the glass like it's trying to see in. Now, we're panicking the whole time. My brother's is like, man, forget this. And soon as he steps off the bed, we hear this loud bang, and there's a flash of light. The thing in the window gets knocked sideways, and without even missing a beat, it turns, runs across the full length of the backyard, jumps the back chain link fence. It cleared the fence and the alleyway and landed in the back neighbor's yard. This is easily a 15 to 20 foot jump, minimum.
Dad was waiting on it.
Clearing their fence like it was nothing that had gone, you know, up to that point. Now, my dad comes tearing around the side of the house with his shotgun in hand and makes a mad dash for the side door and slams it shut behind him.
All I can think is just home, 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 just touching them
and then
off
runs off. Runs back in the house and slams the door. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm not hating. I'd probably do the same thing. You. My mom absolutely refused to believe we saw what we said we saw. And we only lived there for another 6 months. It rattled my dad so much, he didn't even want to come back. He told my mom that we were just going to have to move that next day, but she wouldn't allow it. After about 6 months, she conceded and we moved. Mind you, this is in the coastal plains region of Texas. We have no large wild canines here. We do have stray dogs and, yes, coyotes, but nothing that would even remotely touch on how big this thing was. My dad swears he shot that thing with a slug from about 15 feet away with his 12-gauge shotgun right underneath its left arm, hitting it in the ribs where its vital organs are, and nothing happened. It just ran off. He said the thing that freaked him out the most is when he saw the thing jump the fence, it walked towards our window, crouched, but still on its hind legs. It wasn't walking on all fours then. When it got to the window, it stood up straight, and he could tell that while it looked like a dog, its body was shaped wrong. He said it looked like a really stocky person wearing a dog suit, but he could tell that it was not a suit. Also, that's when it was walking in circles and sniffing the ground before coming into our yard the second time. It wasn't actually sniffing the ground like for a scent. It was staring out our window with its face to the ground like it was acting like it was sniffing the ground, almost as if it was playing a part to see if anyone would notice it or not. He said he's had dogs in his whole, he's had dogs his entire life, and everything about what it was doing was wrong. A while later, my dad was in the backyard and he said he was thought that he was, that I was having a nightmare. He told me and my brother that one thing gave it away. He said with how panicked I looked, that my brother was almost white as a sheet and wouldn't take his eyes off the window. He said, your brother has never looked so scared and never been one without making up stuff. So after going back to his room with my mom, as he was laying there thinking about it, he decided if my brother was white as he was, then he must have actually seen something. So that's when he decided to grab his gun in case he had to scare some creeper out of our yard, and figured he was going to just go through the garage and out by the far side of the house, sneak to the corner to see if anyone was peeking in our windows or if someone was actually messing with us. He never actually thought he saw a giant dog-looking thing looking through the window.
Shotgun slug under the left armpit's going to stop a creeper, more than likely.
Right? He said when he saw that thing come up the side fence with the street light in the back alley lighting up the backyard, he saw it and it freaked him out. He was going to creep back inside, but it went up to our window, and he said that's when it stood up and he got this instant feeling of dread that something bad was going to happen to us. He had no choice but to shoot it. And then the thing just ran off.
Just absorbed it. Look.
So the three of them saw a dog man.
A werewolf.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling than when you're fixing to try to take something out and you get that shot where it opens up the vitals perfectly.
That is true.
So, you know, like, I'm giving it everything. Like, this is it. And for the thing to just absorb it and trot off is rather unsettling.
What would be crazy is if a couple days later they found, like, a dead guy in that alley. Oh. And he looked like a human naked. You know what I mean?
Like a were-man.
No, like he transformed back into a man after he was shot. Yeah. But he wasn't using silver bullets, so.
That is true. Maybe that is it. I've got one for you real quick here.
Heck yeah.
This comes from the Ukraine. This comes from Crimea back in 1998. Listen to this. Four boys from the local elementary school, and I'm not going to even give you their names. Just imagine it, all right? There's a whole lot of V's and Y's and I's. Okay, there's a lot of some vowelage in there.
Yeah, just try. Go ahead.
I'll give you their first names. Eldar, Anton, Sever, and Alesha. That's it. After their last names are just awesome last names that I can't pronounce. But they had gone out of the school building to use the bathroom. On their way there, they heard a strange guttural sound coming from behind them. Looking back, they saw a strange humanoid entity climbing over the fence that was approximately 1.7 meters in height.
Okay.
The boys froze in terror as the entity began approaching them. The alien had a large head, not in proportion to its body, two huge red eyes, and a square, flat body. Its long arms touched the ground and ended in three clawed black fingers. The legs of the entity were black and straight, the rest of its body semi-transparent and smoke color. The boys noticed neither hair, nor mouth, nor ears or nose. And they named the entity the Slug. The Slug. So the alien.
What is it with you and these slug stories? How do you find them?
I don't know. I'm blessed that way, being able to locate slug stories. For some reason, the idea of a slug man is extremely off-putting to
disturbing.
Me.
Disturbing? Yes.
I don't care for it at all.
It reminds me of that Fluke Man episode of The X-Files.
Exactly.
That's what I think of.
That's exactly it. The alien approached one of the boys and put his hand on his shoulder. The boy felt neither heaviness nor pain and tried to push it away. The boy noticed that the entity had some sort of device with a button attached to its elbow. The alien pressed the button with a clawed finger, and immediately the alien was sucked through the wall of the school building.
Okay.
Yeah. Said the entity's red eyes could still be seen on the wall. The boy's skin turned red on the place where the entity had touched him, but he still felt no pain nor burning sensation. Soon, of course, it disappeared, and the screaming boys rushed to their classroom. The teacher was unable to calm them, and one of the boys stuttered uncontrollably. The fear going to the toilet alone after that incident, none of them would go.
I would have went to the toilet where I was standing.
That's probably what a Code Brown went down right there. And a number of UFO observations were reported in that area in 98. So it had some sort of interaction with the slug man that could just morph into the wall and vanish.
Do you hear that?
That's some good thunder right there.
I was like, if you guys hear that, it is pouring outside.
It's getting it right now.
So you might hear some background.
Hey, the power might go off. We don't know. It's going to get Western.
It's going to make it spooky. Speaking of spooky, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some strange encounters with mysterious creatures. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, folks, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. The other week when we were up in Memphis, Tennessee, doing the Ducks Unlimited podcast, I remember Cam was retelling a story about two guys that were duck hunting one morning, I believe it was, and they saw something land in the reeds and crawl to the water, and it was a giant, like, bat-winged creature. They didn't know what it was, and it reminded me of this story, which is kind of similar to that. It says, "My name is Ella, and it was back in 2016 that I had a frightening encounter with a hideous, evil-looking winged animal. On the day before my 21st birthday, my boyfriend, Miguel, surprised me with a weekend vacation in Joshua Tree, California. When we arrived at the rental property, I was further surprised by the presence of four of my close friends and a couple of their boyfriends. It wasn't too hard for everyone to make it out there because we all lived in San Bernardino area, which is only about an hour and a half drive to Joshua Tree. This place, it was fantastic. It had a modern style and was constructed with recycled shipping containers. It even had an above-ground swimming pool that was made from a single shipping container. Additionally, the place was beside some of the most extraordinary rock formations I've ever seen. They were a perfect example of the art that Mother Nature is more than capable of. Once dusk came around, we were all hanging out in and around the pool when one of my friend's boyfriends, Lewis, yelled, 'Look out!' Lewis was behind me, so the abrupt warning prompted me to spin around. It looked like a giant winged shadow was dive bombing us. Without hesitating, I submerged myself and noticed everyone else was doing the same. The pool must have been between 10 and 12 feet deep. My friend Laura was the last one in the water to make her way beneath the surface. I'm not the best when it comes to holding my breath for long periods, so it was only a matter of seconds before I could return to the surface. Not knowing what to greet me was going to greet me up there was one of the most suspenseful moments of my life. Since I had only seen the quickest glimpse of whatever drew blood from Laura, I braced myself for a sizable, rabid bat to begin mauling me. It's incredible how much commotion a small group of people can create when they're panicking. Although there were only four other people in the pool, it felt like utter chaos while everyone was attempting to make it onto the ladder. It was disheartening to watch a group of close friends climb over one another amid a race for safety. When I made it onto the concrete around the shipping container's pool, I noticed just how badly Laura was bleeding. There was a trail of blood all over the walkway, and as I looked ahead, I saw her boyfriend, Giancarlo, rushing her toward the house. He was holding a towel around her shoulders and insisting that everything was going to be okay. A considerable stretch of land sat between the pool and the main house. Barefoot, I dashed as fast as I could towards the door, refraining from looking up. But that didn't stop me from noticing the massive shadow moving around the ground all around me. I can't even begin to emphasize the width of the wingspan. It didn't seem like it should be real. It looked much more like a small airplane that was circling the sky rather than an animal. I had nearly made it to the door when I heard Miguel's voice. He was somewhere behind me shouting the words, "Come on, you got this." When I looked over my shoulder, I saw him trying to help my friend Camilla off the ground while simultaneously preparing to fend off this airborne giant. Miguel was having difficulty helping Camilla out of the cluster of cacti. She must have been looking toward the sky while running and failed to realize she was headed toward the ensemble of prickly plants. On top of panicking, she had quite a few drinks, so being intoxicated, well, that didn't help her during this sudden emergency. Miguel had always been the type of guy to put others before him, and I couldn't just leave him there to fend for himself while he tried to help my friend. I had almost made my way over to them when I saw a large, dark talons suddenly come into view. Camilla screamed as one set of nails sunk into her shoulder and the other into her upper arm. The swooping animal pushed Miguel onto the gravel between the cacti and the concrete walkway. And within a mere moment, Camilla was ascending toward the sky. Never had I heard someone scream so loud before. I'd never seen anyone that terrified. She was maybe 10 feet above the ground at most when she managed to break free. Luckily, it turned out that the winged creature hadn't secured a firm grip on her arm, which I guess allowed her to use enough leverage to wiggle free. The unlucky part is that Camilla was above another cluster of cacti when she was released. Her screams were almost deafening after she landed. The thought of falling into a bunch of cacti while wearing nothing but a bikini sent chills up my spine. "Ella, what are you doing?" Miguel shouted. "Get inside." "I'm not leaving you out here," I shouted back. I could see the torn look in his eyes. It was tough for him to decide whether to run towards me, towards the house, or to wiggle his way through the prickly vegetation to help Camilla before the creature reapproached. Miguel tried to catch me as I ran towards Camilla, but I managed to squeeze by him. I knew he would follow me, and having three people huddled together might discourage this creature from attacking. My adrenaline was pumping so hard that I barely felt the pricks as I weaved my way through the maze of cacti. This colossal shadow continued to circle from above, and I assumed it would be any moment that I felt its talons penetrate my skin. Miguel anticipated the same thing. He pretty much draped himself over me while I reached for Camilla's hand. No matter which way she tried to roll off the cacti, she would get pricked several more times. And by this point, she was in so much pain that it seemed to prevent her from screaming anymore. However, her wincing facial expression made it known that she was in sheer agony. While the shadow seemed to grow larger, my instincts prompted me to tear Camilla from the cacti. Miguel then tossed her over his shoulder and instructed me to run as fast as I could towards the house. "Ah," Camilla yelped as they tumbled onto the walkway. When I turned around, I couldn't believe what I saw. The creature had pushed both of them to the ground and was using its razor-sharp beak to take a large morsel from Camilla's back. Fortunately for Miguel, Camilla's body seemed to be shielding him. I wanted to run over to help them, but I didn't see anything around me that I could use as a weapon. This animal had to have a wingspan of at least 30 feet, and its beak and talons were much larger than those of any modern documented bird. If I were to go anywhere near that thing, I just knew it would have been lights out in an instant. Soon, Lewis charged into view with a large shovel that he found in the garage. As if it were a baseball bat, he swung it at the bird's head, causing it to make the most ear-piercing screech, followed by an aggressive hiss. Lewis swung the shovel at its head several times, eventually drawing blood from the animal's eye area. It hissed a few more times while it backed away, shaking its head. Its talons sounded so heavy as they clacked along the concrete ground. The creature made a couple of bluff lunges before deciding that it didn't desire any further damage to its head. I felt a few heavy gusts as it flapped its massive wings and took off into the air. I was so glad that the thing disappeared into the horizon. Lewis and I did what we could to help Miguel and Camilla off the ground, which instantly soaked my hands with blood. Unable to know whether there was more than one creature, we ran as fast as we could towards the garage. "Turn that off!" I yelled at Maria, who was aiming her smartphone at us. I thought it was incredibly inconsiderate of heavily wounded Camilla. Now I feel a bit bad for scolding her about it because she was only trying to document the incident. Once we were inside the house, we sat Camilla in the kitchen chair that had a partial backrest. The modern design enabled her to rest her torso while we examined her injuries. I had trouble underplaying the severity on several occasions. She asked how everything looked. Luckily, Lewis maintained his composure, which I think was a big help in keeping things as calm as possible. The more I looked at Camilla's wounds, the more challenging it became not to gasp at the horror. There was so much blood trickling onto the chair, and it seemed like her speech was becoming slow and slurred. My friends scrambled around the house, hoping to locate bandages, but towels were the best we could find. We all took turns pressing the fabric against her wounds while we waited for an ambulance to arrive. As soon as we heard the sirens, Lewis and Miguel carried her out to meet the paramedics. Camilla appeared to have lost all of her strength and was limp in their arms. "Camilla, wake up! It's okay, you're going to be okay." That's what everyone was saying while the paramedics carefully lifted her onto the stretcher. When the emergency responders closed the ambulance doors, I looked around and noticed that all of the girls were crying. And that was the first moment I felt serious about the situation. I think I had been so distracted by trying to survive and that it blinded me from the possibility that we might have lost a close friend. As the ambulance drove off, the police began questioning us about what had happened. Maria volunteered to show the officers the footage that she had shot with her phone. I specifically remember how one of them walked away from the group while speaking numerical code language over his radio. Then they asked for our group to remain tight in the driveway while they waited for additional personnel to arrive. It was about 15 minutes or so later that a large black SUV drove onto the property. A couple of casually dressed men stepped out of the vehicle and quickly flashed badges to the already present police officers. They looked like, well, stereotypical undercover cops, and they immediately asked if they could see the smartphone footage of the attack. They turned the phone's volume all the way up, and I could hear them continuously reviewing the part where the creature mauled Camilla while she was on top of Miguel. Repeatedly listening to Camilla getting torn open was excruciating, and I ended up asking if I could wait inside the house until they were finished. I had already begun walking toward the door before the authorities could respond, and I got a bad feeling when they insisted I might stay in sight. I thought I must have misheard the man who gave the instructions. It was right after I requested an explanation that we were all asked to hand over our cell phones. A few of us protested, but the authorities spewed all sorts of legal jargon that left us feeling like we were out of the element. And when the men brought up the possibility that we, along with our families, could face significant hurdles with the government agencies such as the IRS, we all agreed to cooperate. I briefly toyed with the idea of trying to contact a good lawyer, but ultimately concluded I would never afford such a pricey luxury. We all handed over our unlocked phones, and although we couldn't see what the men were doing with them, it seemed apparent that the first place they went was through our photo and video gallery. We then watched as they took out one of their own phones and appeared to airdrop the footage from Maria's phone. It turned out that she was the only one who captured anything involving this large winged creature. After all of that was taken care of, they reviewed our driver's licenses before informing us that Camilla had been taken to a special facility that would then transfer her to the nearest hospital. We were given a number to a hospital and told to call within the next few hours to learn whether she had been admitted. Our group spent the next few hours calling that hospital every 20 minutes until I received a call from her father. Immediately, I could hear him and Camilla's mother crying as I put the phone to my ear. All they asked was, "Ella, what happened to our daughter?" He said that they had just got off the phone and found out their daughter was doing bad and had a lot of blood loss. The hardest thing I had to do was tell them the details of what happened. It ended up being a birthday straight out of hell. I told them that we were having a good time swimming in the pool when all of a sudden a giant bird showed up and attacked us out of nowhere, and that Lewis had to fight the thing off, and then it attacked Camilla, and she had lost a lot of blood. And they were like, "What do you mean it was a giant bird?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's exactly right. It was an incredibly large bird that should have never been there, but somehow was." Unfortunately, we don't have any video. We don't have any photographic proof of what we saw that day, just me and the friends that were there that witnessed it. And of course, yes, Camilla has scars on her body. We were instructed not to tell anyone, but I felt compelled to tell my story. I regularly wonder how many people fall victim to these kinds of attacks, but end up getting silenced by the government and their communities. Wow, that's a crazy story, if real. I don't know that it's real. It was sent to us. I'm assuming somebody found it somewhere online, probably Reddit or something like that. But it is a crazy story, and there are sightings. I've never heard of an attack, But there are numerous sightings, if you look into it, of giant birds. Thunderbirds is what they're usually referred to. And like I've mentioned many times on the show, I have a person that I know that was hunting and saw an incredibly large bird, way too large for what's normal up in the wilds of Alaska. I mean, they had to fly in with a bush plane. You know, there's no roads up there. But he said it was incredibly ginormous. And there have been several birds of giant proportions actually seen in Texas. Now, the victim claims they had a wingspan of 30 feet. I don't know about that, but I do know that I have the stories of thunderbirds that have been sent to us in the past. So, very cool. I like that story. I got another one here. Check this out. My name is Dave, and I'm from a suburban town in Illinois called Libertyville. It's a pleasant place about 30 miles north of Chicago, and it's where I've spent the majority of my life. Never would I have expected to encounter a cryptid anywhere close to there. A little over a decade ago, I earned a significant amount of money from the stock market. Numbers have always been my bread and butter, so I've been toying with finances ever since high school. I was lucky enough to earn my parents quite a bit of money when I was only 18 years old, and they were generous enough to give me a piece of those earnings to compound for myself. That was what sparked my addiction. Fortunately, it was an addiction that led to a very comfortable living. I've always been more of a saver than a spender, but I had the urge to do something spontaneous and purchase a boat. Both of my parents were still very active, and my three children loved anything to do with the water. So I knew that this would be something that we could all benefit from. There's a harbor not too far from where I live, in another town known as Waukegan, and it ended up being the perfect place to park my new toy. Besides my wife, I kept the purchase on the down low for a while because I wanted to make sure I knew how to look after it before taking anyone out on it. Immediately after I bought it, I hired a professional to come out with me a few times so they could teach me a variety of the things that I might have neglected when captaining the thing by myself. Equipped with two bedrooms and a bathroom, the vessel was quite a bit larger than the average speedboat, so I suppose I felt like there were many more opportunities for me to do something wrong. Once I felt comfortable, I knew what I was doing, I began to take the boat out frequently, always in the evenings when I was finished working for the day. What's kind of funny is that I delayed the surprise from the rest of my family because I knew the kids would constantly ask to use it. It was so therapeutic for me to be out there by myself. It had become the perfect place to relax. I also loved how I had no cellular reception out there because it prevented my habit of constantly checking the market. It led to a solitude that I probably hadn't experienced since I was in the womb, and I decided to take advantage of it for as long as possible. All in all, it was probably about 3 weeks that I was learning the ropes with my new toy before I revealed the purchase to my parents and to my kids. And it was near the end of that period that I experienced the shock of a lifetime. To celebrate my new boat, I went out one evening, alone, to try a bit of fishing and kick back with a bottle of aged whiskey and a cigar. I was never that big into fishing, but it felt like the right thing to do. Also, bear in mind that I haven't even finished a glass of the fine liquor before the encounter occurred. I just feel like I need to make that aspect clear for any skeptics who might accuse me of having alcohol-based hallucinations or something ridiculous like that. I was sitting down in a fold-out chair when I hooked what felt like a sizable fish. After fighting it for a few minutes, I finally reeled the fish into view. While it swam just below the surface, it appeared to be some sort of catfish or perhaps sturgeon. The fish was quite a bit larger than what I was going for, and I was surprised as hell that the line hadn't broken. But what was even more surprising was the object that approached it from off to the right. It was dark. It was smooth and even a bit shiny. The texture reminded me a lot of a wet seal, but I was well aware that there were no seals in the Great Lakes. The longer I stared at it, the more I noticed it was heading directly for the fish that I had hooked. Once I was within a few yards of the struggling fish, I saw the approaching object tilt onto its side a bit, which exposed an expanding set of jaws that contained rows and rows of sharp teeth. Not long after that, I noticed that the head was attached to a long neck. I first thought that this was some sort of giant aquatic snake. But then I saw the massive body right after it lunged at the fish. Somehow, the fish managed to squirm out of the way at the very last second, causing this large creature to miss its intended prey. The unidentified creature then vanished for a bit, seeming having entered deeper water. I was so startled by the creature's appearance that I failed to realize that the fish was now quite a bit farther away from the boat, but I soon realized how hard it was to move a muscle. Before I could just put any thought into what just happened, I watched the jaws reemerge from the fish, snatching it up and thrashing it around. Even though the second sighting lasted only a second or two, it felt like time had slowed down. I'm assuming the feeling was caused by how much trouble I was having comprehending what I had just seen. Nothing about it made any sense. It felt like I was in a dream. Even though the creature was no longer visible, sudden turbulence indicated that it swam directly underneath my boat. I turned and walked a few steps to try to see it on the other side, but there was nothing. Also, the fishing pole was nowhere to be found, and it's remarkable how I don't even recall watching it get yanked overboard. From what felt like the longest time, I stood there, awaiting any sign that the creature had returned. I was relieved when it started to feel like there was no interest in me or my boat. Whatever that thing was, it could have easily capsized me if it had wanted to, and I didn't think that long neck would have any trouble reaching me up on the deck. A few days later, I finally revealed to my parents and to my children that I had a new boat. I didn't know how to tell them about the strange sighting without sounding like a crazy person, so I ultimately decided against it. I did tell my wife about it that very night that it happened, but I'm not sure how she took it. She tells me she believes me, but I can't blame her for suspecting that I might have mistaken a sizable predatory fish for some prehistoric monster. I understand that because I would have been one of the last people to believe that type of claim if I hadn't been there to see it with my own two eyes. To me, the creature looked just like a long-necked dinosaur, only it had smooth skin like a salamander, which leads me to believe that it spends the majority of its time in the water. I didn't see the whole body, so unfortunately, I can't verify whether it had fins. However, the speed at which it moved through the water makes me think that it did. Perhaps the biggest question of all is, how does such a rare animal maintain the ability to procreate? And even if there were a pair of male and female creatures, wouldn't they likely lay several eggs? It just seems like I would have at least heard of a legend about a beast like that living in the Midwest by this point. Aside from the Loch Ness Monster, I read something about something similar roaming the waters of Lake Champlain, which I only just learned of the other day. Maybe I saw the same thing as the legendary champ. Well, crazy story, right? We've talked about it several times on the show. Modern day sightings of what appears to be a dinosaur. And what I often wonder is it a physical thing? Or is it like somehow, I don't even know how to describe it, like a movie on a loop, like it's replaying something that once existed in those waters. I don't know. Very, very cool story. We got one more. This comes from a listener who was mule deer hunting up in Colorado when he had a crazy sighting. Check this out.
Hey, my name is Cody. I heard you guys on the Ducks Unlimited podcast, the Halloween episode. And I had an experience 2 years ago while deer hunting in north central Colorado. I've been hunting my entire life and spend many nights out in the mountains, either in a tent or sleeping in the back of my truck. It's nothing new to me. I've traveled all over the country doing the same thing. And so nothing really bothers me much. And one night I was looking for mule deer, and I found an area right at last light that had a ton of deer in it, but it was getting too dark to hunt, so I figured I was going to camp up on the road and go back in the morning. So I ate my dinner, got everything ready for the morning and blew up my inflatable mattress across the back seat of my truck, kind of short, so I fit, and went to bed. Fell asleep, nothing out of the ordinary. Woke up sometime around about 11 and heard a noise that at first I just thought was like an oil rig working way off in the distance. It just sounded, I'm going to imitate it, and I don't know if I'm going to do it well, but it kind of sounded like kind of like a heartbeat, like real hollow, deep, but it sounded way, way far off in the distance. And so I listened to it a few times and it stopped and I fell back asleep. A couple hours later, I wake up again and hear it again. And this time it's, well, that sounds kind of closer, but whatever, wind shift can change the distance, sound carries and all that stuff. Eventually it stops again. Same thing, fall back asleep, wake up a little bit later and I hear it. I'm like, that is definitely closer. Not really sure what it could be, but I turned my headlight on, opened the windows and looked around the truck. A fresh coat of snow on the ground. I'm in like a big sage flat. So there's no trees around me. Just flat emptiness for a long ways. Eventually fall back asleep and I feel like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that in the morning, I wake up. I'm like, man, something woke me up. What was that? And I'm listening and I'm listening and all of a sudden I hear it again. But I mean, it is outside the truck. I mean, shockingly loud. And I don't know what it is. I flip my headlight on, open the windows, look around the truck. There's nothing there. And I yell, hey, who's there? What do you want? Blah, blah, blah. No response. So I'm just sitting there in the back seat, kind of going, what the heck is going on? And the only way I can explain it is if like a big gust of wind hits your vehicle or you hit a pothole and like the whole truck just like shook like left and right. And I grabbed my rifle and jumped out of the truck like, hey, who's there? And I walked all the way around the truck in the snow. There's no footprints of anything. Can't figure it out. Freaking out. Like, do I leave? What is going on? There's no wind. It's dead calm. I don't know what's going on. Eventually, I just get back in the truck and I'm like, just go to sleep. You're fine. And as I'm sitting there trying to go back to sleep, the whole truck violently shakes again. And I jumped into the front seat, started the truck, and started driving. And as I'm pulling out of there, because I was just moving, forget the deer, I'm getting out of this area. And as I'm driving, I look in my rear lights and I don't know what it was or where it went or anything, but all I just saw was like a big something big running like across the road but behind my trucks in the brake lights. It was big, it was on four legs. I don't know what it was. I ended up driving probably 4 miles to like a designated camping area, slept the rest of the night best I could. So curious, I, in the morning, got back, drove back to that area. I must have spent hours walking around that area to look for tracks of anything. And the only thing I found were my truck tracks and deer tracks. No bears, no lions, no bobcats, no none of that. I mean, I spent lots of time in the area. I know what animals are out there. I have no idea what this was, what the noise was, how it shook my truck, any of that. Yeah, so that's my experience. It scared the hell out of me. And, I've been back to that area multiple times and been perfectly fine. So, yeah, that's my experience. So thanks. Have a good one.
There you go. Something making a strange sound was stalking him and chased him out of there. I mean, what was it? I don't know. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Yes.
Crazy stories, crazy sightings.
Yeah.
I love them. You love them. That's what makes the show, right? If you have any cool sightings that you want to share with me and Cam and the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
I've got one I want to share with you.
All right, do it.
And the listeners and all the viewers, everyone that's tuned
right.
in.
Hello.
Viewers. Hello, YouTube. Look, I got a tree ant story. I don't have any other way to put it. I've seen all these videos, and I don't know... When it shows the moving trees, the walking trees, right? You've seen those films.
Uh-huh.
All the video footage or whatnot. I want to believe it's real. It's probably not.
Like yeah, it's
you see the way
real.
They run around in the woods.
There's lots of things that we discovered that's probably not real, but I like to think
but
that
I like to, I like to believe that there's tree ants out there. Let me hit you with this one. This comes from Silver Falls Springs, Oregon. Took place back in the early 1990s. Good times. Good times then. I went with a group to Silver Springs Falls in Oregon, and one night after dinner, I decided to go for a stroll.
I could be your Silver Springs.
Here we go.
You don't know that song?
Dude, the voice of an angel. You're going to have to
do an album. Me or Stevie Nicks? Who are you talking about?
You.
We're
going to have to do an album with you for Christmas.
All right.
A Christmas.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Kyle Sings Christmas. Says, I decided to go to find a clear spot so I could see the stars. Uh-huh. I know what you were going out to do after dinner back then in the early 90s. So after about 20 minutes of sitting quietly and contemplating the sky and the stars, a breeze blew through and rustled all the trees and the branches all around the clearing. Said, as this wind is shaking the trees, something caught my eye out of my peripheral vision. I looked to my right, and there it was. For just a second or two, I saw what could be described as a walking tree. Yeah, a tree. It says, back then, I was just beginning to appreciate books. So at the time, I haven't read anything aside from comics and magazines. So now today, I can describe it as looking like an ent from Lord of the Rings, from the movies, the books, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Except one thing. It had more of a round head and a definite or defined neck attached to its shoulders. Its limbs were long and thin. It could probably touch the ground if it had just relaxed its arms down. There didn't seem to be any distinction or separation between the torso and hip. The legs looked like a pair of articulated tree trunks with no discernible feet. It had patches of moss randomly covering its torso and legs and was about 20 feet in height. Goes on to say it was holding what could be described as a long bat-like club in its right hand, letting it just drape over its shoulder. When I first turned my head to see what caught my eye while the wind rushed by, I saw it take three long, deliberate steps in a spot where the clearing met the trees. Well, this sent a chill down my spine and made me freeze for what seemed like forever in this 1 second. And that's when it turned its head, looked right at me and where I was sitting as it took its third step and re-entered the forest. I just sat there for 10 more minutes, feeling frozen in place, going over what I'd just seen.
How could you not?
Oh, it would change everything, right?
That's awesome.
Once I shook off that feeling, I got to my feet and I went back to the cabin where all of us were and everybody was staying as fast as I could. I only told one person after this happened, and they found it to be nice and creepy story before everyone turned in for the night. And it still haunts me to this day when I think about it, man.
That's cool. And you know, if the trees are moving around like that, I think that's fae-like, right? To me, it seems fae-like.
But it seems like they saw it disappear. Like he just, and it was gone, right? Like he saw it take three steps and it's vanished.
So interdimensional, you think?
It just makes it feel more fae-like, like you're talking about. When we always talk about Dwindy, which we told some Dwindy stories up there in Franklin, talked about it, and we've told some all around it. When you start talking about these fae folk and this interdimensional feeling, these are the things that I think it goes to. And I don't know why I feel more natural or more with in tune nature beings like this, just slipping around in the trees and just always wonder how many maybe we walked right by.
That's so cool.
So yeah, there really was some crazy tree ant action in Oregon in the 90s.
I wish I could put my tree stand in here, one of these, go. And then I could just move to where the deer are, because everywhere I put my stand,
I wouldn't even hang a stand on my buddy the ant. I'd just be like, can I sit on your shoulder?
Yeah, right.
Can you just walk over to where do you see them moving? Where do you see the big deer moving? Walk over to that area for me, please.
Yeah.
Now, I'll go get you some Miracle-Gro. I'll get you whatever you need.
Bone meal.
Yeah, man. I'll keep
fish the emulsion.
Yeah. Like I'll keep the woodpeckers off of you. Like we'll make sure it all takes, everything's good.
That's good.
Prune them. Like we'll prune you. The whole deal, man.
I'll prune the other trees away from you so you get more sunlight.
Yeah. Whatever you need. Whatever you need.
Form an alliance. Yeah. You're like a druid now.
Yeah, you know what? I think I could be. I think I could definitely be a druid.
I think you kind of look like one.
I feel a little druish.
Like if you had a crazy hat on with like a squirrel living in it. And like a
Radagast.
Corn cob pipe. Yeah. You're
where you got like the bird crap running down his hat.
Are you druish?
I think I'm druish. 100%. That is a great film too. Spaceballs. If you hadn't seen it, do yourself a favor.
Check this out. It says, hello, Kyle and Cam.
Howdy.
I'm a fairly new listener of Expanded Perspectives.
Glad to have you. Welcome.
I came across the show after Squatchella. Now, we didn't actually do Squatchella, but I know what they're talking about. They saw the promos for Squatchella.
Yeah.
We're still going to do it, though. Anyways, it says, well, I have a story that I think fits right in with the strange and the unexplained experiences that you cover. This happened to me a little over a year ago in October 2023, and it's one of those moments that still gives me chills. I was working as a mail carrier in a small Pennsylvania town. And on this particular day, everything was going wrong. I was running behind schedule, the cold weather had me in a lousy mood, and it just felt like one of those days where nothing could go right. That's just about every day for me.
Yeah, feeling it.
Towards the end of my shift, I came across a missorted letter. Now, normally, I wouldn't think twice about it. Missorted letters are common in this line of work. But this one stopped me in my tracks. The name on the envelope was my grandfather's.
Ooh, what?
He passed away about 5 years ago, and he'd lived around 30 miles from where I was working that day. So this letter had no logical reason to even be there. It was just a piece of junk mail, yet it meant so much in that moment. Seeing his name felt like an unexpected sign, and it brightened my day instantly. Later that night, I called my mom to tell her about the strange letter. When I finished, she was dead silent for a moment, then told me, Trace, today is the exact day he died.
Well, today is the anniversary of his death.
I hadn't even realized it was the anniversary of his passing. I've never had any kind of paranormal experience, but after that day, I started to believe that there might be something more beyond this life. The timing, it was too perfect for it to be pure coincidence. I like to think it was my grandfather's way of letting me know that he was watching over me. I still have that letter. And it's something I'll keep with me forever. Thanks for all the great work you do on the show. Whether or not you share this story, I just wanted to pass it along, as I know you appreciate a good mystery. Best regards, trace.
That's awesome.
It's an awesome story.
That is awesome.
Right? There's little things like that, and I think it happens to all of us. This is what I always talk about whenever we're featured on a new podcast or on a Ducks Unlimited show or wherever. Is like, I think the paranormal, because a lot of people scoff at it when they find out what you're talking about. But I think lots of people have paranormal sightings. It doesn't have to be something grandiose like an alien abduction. It doesn't have to be something like, you know, the MIB wound up at my house or following me.
Yeah.
It can be something simple just like this letter. Now, and it probably just was a wild coincidence, wild beyond measurement, or maybe their grandfather is looking in on them. But I like little things like this, and I think a lot of people have crazy little things that happen. And sometimes they probably happen and you're not even aware that it's happening.
I think that's most of us. I think most of us have strange things that you just throw, like we talk about with coincidences. Sometimes, man, I don't know. I go back and forth on those like I do Bigfoot. It's like, are coincidences real?
100%.
Or are they, is it intentional? Like, is coincidence even a real thing? Or is it something that it's set there for a reason?
I think things don't happen just happenstance. I think everything happens for a reason.
Don't believe in the chaos effect.
Yeah, or like, what is it, the butterfly effect? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Little things that change here, changes your trajectory. I 100% think about it, because I can look back on my life and say, man, I almost did this, but I didn't. And then, like, look at where I'm at now.
Like, if I'd have done this instead of that, yeah.
Totally different set of circumstances. I mean, like, this whole show is a crazy thing.
That's 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we were just two nobodies, and like, look at where we're at now, over 11 years
of us still recording and y'all still watching and listening and supporting, and we appreciate it tremendously.
We appreciate
because
it.
Now we can't go anywhere.
Yeah, no.
Now I want to stay and keep doing it now till we hit, like, what are we at?
Another 11 years, easy.
Yeah, I want to go to at least like 30 years.
Why not? Art Bell did it for a long time.
Yeah, let's just do that. We're just going to go till we're old and decrepit and we can't read anymore.
If you have any cool stories you want to share with us, you can email the show, like I mentioned earlier, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-2-BRUD. I got a lot of phone calls since we came back from Franklin. I just got to go through them. Mary showed them to me the other day.
Yeah.
I got to do that. Let's not forget about our sponsor, Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/EXPANDED. That's uncommongoods.com/expanded for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Christmas is coming up. So that's the thing. Cam?
Yes, sir.
I know you're back into town. Thanksgiving's approaching. You got any plans?
I'm going to be in the trees.
If it starts raining, you ain't going today, buddy.
No. I'd have to go out there in like a swamp boat. I have to P-row out there to get to the deer stand now.
Yeah.
But my whole plan is to just try to spend as much time in the woods. We were so busy, we didn't get to get out there. And now it's not been the best weather, but we're just going to have to find a workaround for the whole deal.
And you got a birthday coming up?
I do. Yep. Another year older, getting that much closer to the big 5-0.
Luke's got a birthday coming up.
Are we going? We gambling at Cidercade again?
We're going to Cidercade.
Oh, that place is amazing. I love it so much.
Vintage pinball. I love it.
Dude, I think I played pinball more than I played anything else there.
Yeah, because how it's not that common anymore.
That was the thing. It's like I can play video games anytime. I want to play pinball.
And the video games are at home are better.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like when we were, you had to go to an arcade because the video games at home are trash.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But you could go anywhere. You could go to like a pizza place in town and they'd have a pinball machine. You don't see that.
I would, you know, I've never looked into what they cost, but I would love to have a pinball machine.
We should get one. You could have one made that's expanded perspectives.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's like in the budget. That stuff might be expensive to have somebody build you a pinball machine with our faces in it. And then
you could do that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to. I'm just stopping.
Here's what we do. Everybody join Patreon.
A bunch of cryptid stuff. And
Cam wants a pinball machine made in his likeness.
No,
join us on Patreon. Go to Patreon. You can download the Patreon app. Look for expanded perspectives.
You know which one I would like to have? Like one from the 80s. Like something of a television or movie or something. Like an Aliens or a Predator. A Predator pinball machine would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That'd be pretty cool.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode, folks. Till next time, be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.